hour number two, Chase and Big Joe. Potentially the last hour, thanks to Clay. Never know. Oh, my goodness. I needed a second. Oh, my goodness. That was something. If you missed it, you missed it.
That's a good way to put that.
That is the best way to put it. We say hello now to Chris Sanders, who is going to pray for us, make us feel better about ourselves. We need it after that. Chris, how are you?
Man, I'm doing good. I actually just woke up, man. I woke up. I was sleeping. You know, I had a unibrow, so it was stuck together. So I'm just waking up.
Well, we're happy that you can wake up with us. And
I love you guys. Listen, I wouldn't miss this for anything. You guys are my two favorite people, man. You know that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. listen, Titans and Jags. It's a terrible game. You've been on good teams. You've been on bad teams.
Sure,
If you're playing in this game, like, how do you get excited? I mean, I know you get the chance to go play in an NFL game, but this is obviously a tough one.
Yeah, it really is tough. But here's the thing, Chase. You know, you're going to find out who loves football, who doesn't love football. They love it for just, you know, the finances. You know, I remember in 1995 when I got drafted. You know, we had a terrible season. I think we were 6-10 or whatever it was. We were playing our last game in Buffalo, snowing and this and that. But me going out there playing and giving my all is because I just love football. And now you got a situation with the Tennessee Titans where you're not going to the playoffs. You got problems at quarterback. You got an offensive line that's struggling. You got the secondary that's giving them explosive plays. Everybody's asking the question, what are you playing for? Yes, you have a lot to play for. You got to play for the love of the game. I know that sounds cliche and corny, but if you love football, you dreamt about playing in the NFL, it doesn't matter what the record is. You're going to go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to make a test, I'll make a play, knock down a pass, whatever I do. Why? Because I absolutely love football. That's what you're playing for.
Yeah, for sure. Mason Rudolph will make his second consecutive start after taking the job from Will Levis. What'd you kind of – I mean, look, it wasn't a great game last week. They did back and, you know, garbage time. But what did you think overall of his performance?
You know, it's kind of like getting on a roller coaster. It's like you're going up, 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 up. Oh, he's doing pretty good. And all of a sudden, here comes an interception and something goes wrong. But, you know, you watch him early in each game that he plays in. I mean, he's throwing some good balls. He's making some good plays. I mean, you look at what happened last week. You know, he throws a bomb to Calvin Ridley. Now you're like, okay, I'm excited. Then all of a sudden, reality hits in. He, you know, he throws interceptions or makes something bad happens, but he still shows some fight. So, you know, you don't know what to take of it. Yeah, he's a – and I say this respectfully because everybody thinks a backup is a bad thing in the NFL when only 1% of people make it. I just still see him as just basically, you know, a backup in case anybody get hurt.
Chris Sanders with us. Chris, I listened to the pregame show last week with you, Jared, and Derek. A lot of screaming on that show on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, because
won't be this week.
We be screaming at each other every week, and it's all because of Jared. I mean, me and Derek, we're kind of calm and mild-mannered, but we got into that subject again about, you know, a person being soft, a team being soft, an organization being soft. And I wanted Jared, which I love all my heart. He's like my brother. But it's like, what's the definition of soft? You know, is soft, when you think of soft, you think timid and scared. Anybody that steps foot on the NFL is not a timid guy. You're just a team that is not disciplined. Your special teams is bad. And everything that a bad team looks like, that's what you are. But calling somebody soft, that's just kind of hard to swallow.
1995, you guys go into the last two games of the season. You had lost 4 or 5, and you weren't playing well. But you win the last two games of 1995. You had nothing to play for, and that started a small foundation, which springboarded into 96, and you guys were 8-8, 97. You kind of build stuff. So there is, I know roster flips, but the entire roster doesn't flip. You're going to bring some guys back next year, so these games are still important, aren't they?
They are. Can I tell you, and I know this is kind of, you know, sharing a little too much information, but let me tell you what I was playing for. You got to remember, when you put a contract together before the game, right? And one of my incentives was, if I catch over 35 catches, I get a $50,000 bonus. Whoa. So that's in the back of my mind. So I'm like, Mac, throw me the ball. You know, just kind of like.
Hey, Mac. Yo.
Mac, I'm over here. And all I need was one catch. And guess how many catches I had that game? One catch.
Oh, boy.
So I ran. Actually, I was running a post, And Mac started to scramble, and he threw it, and I caught like a 40-yard catch or something like that against the Buffalo Bills, and I got my incentives. But, you know, kind of getting back to what we're talking about, yeah, they're going to flip the roster big time. It's, you got to look at the whole situation of the team. Okay, what holes need to be filled? Everywhere. The offensive line, we talk about the right tackle. You know, we talk about the secondary. You got to get some more corners. We don't know, you know, the situation with Awuzie, if those guys can stay healthy. Then you got a situation, you know, at the wide receiver position. I know we got two good guys. We got Calvin Ridley, NWI, but you still need some depth, you know, in that position. You know, just overall, Derek Mason says this all the time, I never want to steal his thunder, but he always talks about the depth of this roster. And I think that with Rand Carthon or, you know, Brian Callahan, they need to figure out a way to have more depth on this roster.
Chris, when you caught that pass, were you kind of toe-tapping, going to get me a new car, get me a new car?
No, because but back then they had Hugo, so it wasn't the cars weren't too good. But man, I watch it. It's actually on my Facebook page, and I catch it. Watch my face. Watch my reaction. I even actually, you know, gave the ref a little tap, like thank you, because he wasn't gonna call it in. But I kind of said, like, come on, man, come on, give me my ducats. But it was pretty cool.
But I know it's at the time it's all great. But you talked about your reinventing yourself and, you know, having regrets, this and that. Do you want to smack that kid from 1995 who all he wanted was that one catch?
You know what? That's a great point, and I would say yes. I really would, because, you know, just being real, I was being very selfish and even being selfish in that game. I really didn't want to block. You know, you know the pitch, that's the same game that Les Tuckle told me, if you don't start blocking, I'm going to take you out. That,
right.
That's the same game. So if I could turn back the clock and look at that 20-something-year-old kid and say, come on, man, it's not about just the money, which we needed. We had to take care of family, but it's about the love of the game. It's about being in a co with your brothers. It's about, you know, from little league to high school to college to where it looked like you weren't going to make it in the field, and all of a sudden you get drafted. It's going back to those moments and appreciate it. And if I could turn back and talk to the younger Chris Sanders, I would say, son, come here. Let me talk to you. Sit right here. Appreciate what you have. That's what I would tell that old Chris.
And that's man, you got to get on an NFL team. I mean, these guys need you, because you went through the
–
they ain't listening to me or Chase. You went through the fire. Man. And I always tell people that God had to make you uncomfortable, otherwise you would have never moved.
But you know what's so good about the whole thing? And this is just like the meaning of Christmas. You know, everybody loves gifts. Everybody loves the car. Everybody loves the house. Everybody loves that. But it's nothing like having a peace of mind, you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah. 100% agree with you on that.
Let me tell you, some of these last 5 years, going through a lot of trials and tribulations, it's just sitting here. I mean, me and my wife sat on Christmas with our kids, and we sat there, and we let them open up the presents, this and that. But then we went back and laid in the bed. But just having a sense of peace, a sense of just being thankful. You know, the present stuff was great. Oh, absolutely, I love the presents. But sitting there, looking in the mirror, and having a peace of mind, and loving that guy in the mirror. Just, man, dang gummit.
That is truly what it's all about.
It is. And that's why you talk about this weekend. I mean, there. If you go in that game Saturday or Sunday not wanting to win.
Oh, man.
What are you doing?
Let me tell you something. You have a loser's limp. That's what it is. And I say that. I'm not saying who somebody has on the team. I'm saying if you go in this game and you say, I'm not going to play hard, I'm going to play just enough. No, you have a loser's limp, because when the game is on the line and you need to make a play, you're going to still have that loser's limp. So why not finish the game strong? You got two more games left. Finish the game strong, finish both of them, and then on the offseason, build from that. And be like, you know what? I got an interception. I made some touchdowns. All these things that you work hard for, now you can go on the offseason and then make that even better. And that's what you have to play for.
Chris Sanders is with us. What would be your message to Will Levis for the next two games?
You know, what I would tell Will Levis, and this is why I want to do player development, because I've been in this situation, and it was in 1998 where, you know, well, I get blasted on draft. They said, we don't have no receivers. Chris Sanders is this, all this stuff. So I'm sitting there looking at that, and I was sitting in my basement, you know, with tears in my eyes. What I would tell Will Levis is, don't you dare give up now. Yes, everybody's talking about you. Yes, everybody's saying you're not this. Everybody's saying you're all this nonsense. Now, a lot of it's true of the play, not the man, but all this stuff that they're listening to. What you have to do is you have to tune down the negativity and start put more positivity in. Say, man, I can do this. What do I need to work on? Get a list of, a blank piece of paper, and write down all the good things that you are, and write on the things you need to work on. And this is your goals. That's what I would sit down and tell them. Because, man, the thing about it is, you're a rare commodity. I know you haven't done a lot of good things yet, but you're still a 1%er. What's a 1%er? 0.1% people make it in the field, and you're right there to build up his confidence, to build up not just the football player, but to build up the man. Because if you build up the man, now you're going to build up the football player, and then he's going to become what he's supposed to become.
That is perfect.
Do you ever talk to Torrey Hunter?
Torrey, who the heck is that?
He's drafted behind you in 1995 with the Oilers.
No, defensive back. Yeah, remember, I ain't talked to that dude for like since 1996 when he got cut. I talked to Dave Craig. How bad is he? Looking at you?
But you guys, that draft class, that 95, McNair, Anthony Cook, Chris Sanders, Michael Rohn, Rodney Thomas.
Rocco Rose is another guy who looked bad in his uniform, too. He's got a bad look.
But he also, I'll never forget the knee injury he had versus Buffalo on Sunday Night Football because he was a good tight end. He was behind Wycheck, obviously, but he had a gruesome knee injury.
He did, man. I mean, he was one of those guys that just came to work. He barely said a word, but if you ask him to block, if you ask him to do the things that you ask him to do, he's always going to be there. So he wasn't a splashy guy. He wasn't going to run a seam and catch one for 50 yards, but he'll catch a 2-yard touchdown and make it in the end zone. Those are kind of the guys that you need on your roster. Michael Rohn.
Oh, boy. Chris, appreciate it as always, my friend.
Always.
You will be with Joe on Sunday, so maybe there won't be as much yelling.
Oh, my gosh, man. I appreciate y'all so much, man. Love y'all. Y'all have a great, great holidays, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program. Forever Titans wide receiver, as he always does on Friday. We'll have more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.